portion of God's word we will consider this morning is taken from Paul's letter to the Philippians, the third chapter, beginning at verse 20. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. This is God's word. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, these are your words. Make us holy through the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. I have with me this morning two important documents. Now, which of these two is more important? Well, it all depends on what I'm trying to do. At the end of next month, I get to go on a trip to India. And I do believe that this document, my U.S. passport, is going to be more important in that instance. In fact, if I tried to leave the country for another country without my passport, I don't think I would get very far. But what if my destination were not India, or not even another foreign country? What if my destination were not even of this world? What if, that is, I wanted to get to heaven? I don't think this document is going to do much good for me. It's this document that's going to do more good and would be more important in that instance. In this document, it says that on May 13th, 1962, I was baptized at Lord of Life Lutheran Church in Indianapolis, Indiana. And that's the day that I became a citizen of heaven. Now, that was a life-changing experience, to be sure. The day that I got this document, my passport, when I was 17, it really didn't change me at all. But the day that this document came into being, that's what changed me. My heavenly citizenship changed me. And your heavenly citizenship changes you also. The first thing that your heavenly citizenship does to change you is that it makes you look forward to Jesus coming back. Now, I remember as a kid, every once in a while getting into trouble with my brother. Well, and to be honest, usually it was my brother getting into trouble and I was guilty by association. Yeah, right. And it could be a multitude of different things. Maybe it was something as simple as disobeying my mother, maybe even as serious as mouthing off to a neighbor. But then Mom would utter those ominous words, "You just wait until your father gets home." Now, don't get me wrong. Normally, we looked forward to my dad coming home from his long hours at work. It meant that we would get to spend time with him. We'd get to wrestle with him or help him in the garage or just be with him. Dad was good to us. He protected us. He provided for us. And yet, when we knew that when he got home, he would hear those words of my mother, well, we knew what to expect. Now, if you had the chance to see Jesus right now, if Jesus were to come today and make a special appearance in Bethany Chapel in all of his glory, wouldn't that be fantastic? Well, it would, if you were absolutely perfect. When we think about when we will see Jesus, whether that be when we die and go to heaven or thinking about him coming back on the last day, we know what's going to happen. We know why he's coming. Just before the text, Paul wrote about the enemies of the cross of Christ, those who were, to say the least, not on Jesus' good side. And he also said that their end is destruction. That is, that they were going to be eternally condemned when Jesus came back. And that's what we deserve, right? We're disobedient children of God, disobedient who deserve nothing but punishment. And so we wait in fear as we think about Jesus coming back on the last day. But remember this important document. This is an earthly reminder for us of something that God had already done for us in heaven, that he wrote our names in his book of life. When God made you his own in baptism, he washed away all of your disobedience and he gave you a new identity. He gave you a new citizenship. When Jesus comes back, he's coming back as the one who's going to welcome you to your true home of heaven. Note again precisely what Paul says. Our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't say that we await our judge or our executioner. Our Savior, our rescuer, is coming back. And that is definitely something we look forward to. Now, the second way that your heavenly citizenship changes you is this. It means that your earthly body will be changed. As citizens of this world, it doesn't really matter what country issued our passport. We all have something in common. For all practical purposes, we are stuck with the bodies with which we're born. Oh, sure, we can lose weight. We can gain weight. We can color our hair. We can lose hair. We can grow hair, maybe in places we don't want to. We can eat like a health food nut. We can eat at McDonald's every day of the week. We can work out 5 times a week. We can take all kinds of pills and vitamins. We can wear different clothes to make us look better. But when it all comes down to it, we're stuck. We're stuck with the body that no matter what we do to it, no matter how many times we try and change it, it's going to frustrate us as long as we live. There will always be something about our bodies that we don't like. And on top of that, of course, not only do we have to put up with how our body looks, we also get frustrated with how our body acts, how it performs. Even as resilient as our bodies are, a microscopic bug can put us flat on our back for a week. A tiny clot in an artery can cause a stroke or a heart attack. A little change in what's normal in our genetic material can produce permanent, debilitating consequences. No matter how many advances modern medicine makes during our lifetime, we know that we're going to have to put up with the physical effects of sin. Now, I don't say that as if there's some specific physical problem that you're going to have because of a specific sin. I'm talking about the fact that before sin entered the world, there was no pain, no sickness, no death. But when sin came, it brought all kinds of physical problems. And in spite of the fact that God has made us citizens of heaven, until we get there or until Jesus comes back, we're going to have to put up with our bodies the way they are. But our bodies, again, will be changed. Paul says that when Jesus comes back, he will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Now, what this means precisely is a little bit hard to say. What is this glorious body that we're going to have? We may put in a request, perhaps, already, that, oh, God, I could use a body like a supermodel or a super athlete. But Paul doesn't give us those kinds of details. He doesn't tell us exactly what those bodies will be like. We're happy, we rejoice in knowing that whatever our bodies are in heaven, that they will be perfect, that they will be no longer subject to sin and death and disease. So yes, what an incredible change. Think about how your heavenly citizenship changed you. It now makes you look forward to the day when Jesus returns. It also means that you're going to have a perfect body forever and ever. Don't ever give up your citizenship in heaven. Amen.